Jordan Tucker and takes it the distance. 99 yards. Oh! James Bucknight! Back out to Allen. His three-pointer.
Thompson loads it up. Scores! Number five for James Thompson.
Grand slam. George Springer.
Tarasi, the pull-up. It's good. And the foul.
Walker down the lane. Drive, shoots.
It's been a while, but welcome back to another edition of Huskies in the Pros, the podcast here. Brian Dossler, flying solo here. My brother will not be on this podcast. It's just been a busy summer, as it is for everybody. But there's been a lot been going on. You know, we did a lot of previewing the NBA drafts and NHL draft. This will be the first time I'll be able to talk about the fits of Jordan Hawkins to Matthew Wood. Also get into the WNBA All-Stars as the starters and reserves were named for that game coming up on July 15th. And a special project, special announcement, I should say, will be unveiled in this podcast after our basketball section here, or a men's basketball section here, as it's been something I've been working on for a month or two. And I think it's something that it will be heavily involved with UConn Twitter. I think everybody will like it. It'll kind of get us through the summer a little bit. You'll know what that means in about 10 minutes or so when I get to that part of the program. But you definitely want to stick around for that, because I hope, but I really think that UConn Twitter is going to love this idea that I came up with. Again, everyone can be involved. Everyone will play a part of it. And just leave it for that, for a tease. So let's just get right to the NBA drafts. We know the results. It's been a few weeks now. Jordan Hawkins, 15th lottery pick in program history. He went 14th overall to the New Orleans Pelicans. Andre Jackson, he went 36th overall to the Milwaukee Bucks. Adama Sanogo, unfortunately, did not get drafted, signed a two-way deal, two-way contract with the Chicago Bulls. And Matthew Wood, drafted 15th overall by the Nashville Predators in the NHL draft. But let's start at the top with Hawkins. Mentioned 14th overall pick. And before the draft, he's saying it'd be kind of cool for his former teammates to see his face up in the Worth Center. And he got that wish. A 14th pick, remember, that's the last lottery pick. If he went 15th, he would not have been a lottery pick. But he did get that 14th spot. And I love this situation for Jordan Hawkins. There was some teams in the lottery where you didn't really love the situation. Indiana was great. I don't think Orlando would have been great. Those were a couple of the teams in like that 10 to 14, 15 range that I don't think any UConn fan should have liked. For him to go to the Pelicans, the Lakers would have been the best spot for obvious reasons with LeBron James, Anthony Davis. But going to the Pelicans is certainly a nice fit, or I think could be a nice fit for him. I mean, listen, the Pelicans, they finished 29th in three-pointers last season. His 109 three-pointers, remember, this was just six shy of tying the all-time record for most three-pointers of the season behind Ray Allen. But his 109 three-pointers made, that would have ranked third for the Pelicans last year behind T.J. McCollum and Trey Murphy III. So they need a guy that can come off the bench and kind of be that microwave, kind of be that guy that can spark an offense with a couple three-pointers. We saw him do that coming off the bench his freshman year. And obviously when he got hot last year for the Huskies, nobody was stopping him. The key to the Pelicans' big picture, though, is Zion Williamson, his health. Only played 29 games last year. Brandon Ingram as well. He was only limited to 45. You can check my math. I did the math before, but those two, Zion and Ingram, not to make this a Duke podcast, but they missed both of those guys combined missed 90 games last year due to injuries. Those are your two best players. Those are your cornerstone players. So you get those guys back healthy. You got an elite shooter who the Pelicans up and down from the organization, they believe they got the best shooter in the draft. So they're obviously excited to have him. He's going to be close by with his cousin Angel Reese, who obviously will be playing at LSU. So that's pretty cool. They'll be their home games will be very close to each other. I don't know the distance between the two arenas, but they're both in New Orleans, so it's going to be close. So, listen, I think Hawkins, you could say, could fit in with any team, even the teams I mentioned that I didn't want him to go to, solely because he can shoot the basketball so well at elite level, and anybody can take those types of players. But the Pelicans, they've flirted with the postseason. They've been an 8 seed. You get Zion to play 70, 75 games. You get Ingram to play 70, 75 games. This is a playoff team. Without Jordan Hawkins, this is a playoff team. Now you add an elite sharpshooter, and look, I'm not going to say they're a top four team with Jordan Hawkins by any means. It's obviously the progression of Zion, most importantly. But he's a good fit. Zion obviously dominates the paint. This is a guy, Hawkins, that can really spread the floor with Trey Murphy, CJ McCollum. He's going to dominate the ball, bringing the ball up and whatnot for them. But this is a really, really good fit for Jordan Hawkins. Again, it was dicey in that lottery range. The Thunder I would have been cool with. The Pelicans I was cool with. But I think it's a great fit for Mr. Hawkins. He's the second UConn player to get drafted by the Pelicans. The other, I'll wait a few seconds. Maybe you'll get it. Was back in 2006. Hilton Armstrong. If you guessed Hilton Armstrong, you were correct. The New Orleans Hornets took him 12th overall. And Hawkins, the 21st player in UConn men's basketball history to be drafted in the first round. And this week, we're going to be able to see Jordan Hawkins suit up for the Pelicans professionally for the first time. July 7th, Summer League action will begin down over in Vegas. And that will be a 4:30 tip on Friday, July 7th on NBA TV. It's going to be against the Minnesota Timberwolves. What's cool about the Timberwolves is that they have Brendan Adams on their team, who we'll get into that in a little bit, but he started for George Washington last year. So that's a pretty cool Hawkins versus Brendan Adams matchup. Moving on to Andre Jackson Jr. He was drafted 36 overall, actually, by the Orlando Magic. I know he never even put the Orlando hat on, which thank God, because I don't want any UConn player getting drafted by Orlando. But he was traded immediately to the Milwaukee Bucks. It was known before, but technically he was drafted by the Magic, but then immediately traded to the Bucks. Just so it's out there, the Bucks, they traded a 2030 second round pick and cash to the Orlando Magic. This is the first time since 2014, since the previous national championship, that UConn had multiple players drafted in the same draft, Shabazz Napier and DeAndre Daniels. And it was pretty cool to see both players obviously get drafted. Hawkins, very emotional, got up on the stage, shook Adam Silver's hand. Andre Jackson had a watch party in Manhattan. You saw his smile in his face when he got the call. Donovan Klingon, I believe Hassan Diar, and multiple other teammates were in Manhattan, and give a lot of credit. And what a cool night this must have been. And hopefully there's a lot more where guys could be going, or where our coaches could be going back and forth between where our guys are on draft night. But Coach Dan Hurley and Kamani Young making the trip from Brooklyn to Manhattan, obviously not a far drive, but it's kind of one of those things. It was like, wait, is that Kamani and Hurley there with Andre? And it was, I guess, luckily in the sense that there was enough space in between the two picks, they had enough time to get over there. But it is really cool that they were there for both of those moments. Obviously, two guys that won a national championship for him. Now let's talk fit for Andre Jackson. And listen, we know the deal with Andre. He has to be an elite defender to be relevant, to stay in the NBA. And he knows that. He knows that's why he got drafted. His athleticism will still be off the charts, although it will blend in a little bit more. Again, he still has springs for legs and all that, but and you'd have to imagine he's going to have to shoot a little bit to stay somewhat relevant. But look, I mean, there are guys that stay in the league solely because of defense. Pat Bev comes to mind, not really a scorer. Kendrick Perkins back in the day, just thinking off the top of my head, not known for their offense, but known as guys that fire up the team. Andre needs to create havoc on the defensive end. He needs to make game-winning plays or turning point plays, momentum plays to be relevant in this league. We know he can pass well, so he can help there, but he has to be an elite defender. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, one day he's going to be an NBA Defensive Player of the Year. That'd be great. That'd be awesome. But he has to be solid on that end of the floor. He didn't play well in the NBA Combine. His numbers were not great. He turned the ball over, didn't shoot well. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, look, the Bucks, they drafted a guy named Giannis Antetokounmpo, who was not polished offensively at all. Now, obviously, Andre is not 7'3 or 7 foot, whatever Giannis is, and but we'll see what happens there. But my point is that they have developed a player like that, and obviously Giannis is a 30-point scorer now. In a recent article, Hartford Current article with Joe Aruda, some cool quotes from Andre, just saying that he enjoys being a rookie more than a veteran in a sense, just because. I mean, listen, this guy's favorite player is Pete Maravich. He loves soaking up information. You don't see a lot of guys at all that their favorite player is Pete Maravich, but he gets to soak it in from all the veterans. And he says it's different, but he's finding a new home in Milwaukee, as his home arena is now where it used to be enemy territory with Marquette. The Pfizer Forum is where Marquette plays all their home games. A couple of losses there, I believe. When the Tyler Poly game, that must have been there as well. So he would have gotten a win there. But he still said he feels like a visitor at the moment, and saying maybe he'll crack some Marquette jokes as well. And I do want to note there are two former Marquette stars on the Bucks, and that's Jay Crowder and Wesley Matthews. So could be some trash talking between, and they both played in the Big East, or all three of them, they all played in the Big East. So they can talk about that. And one final note on Andre is one of his teammates, his summer league teammates, is Drew Timmy. So there was a lot of, especially on Twitter, just with Timmy being a star from Gonzaga. And we'll get into Timmy and Biggs. Right now, that's actually going to segue us to Adama Sanogo. Signed a two-way contract with the Chicago Bulls. The Final Four's most outstanding player does not get drafted. I will note there were 58 picks this year. A couple teams like lost rights to a picks for whatever reason. And there was only 58 picks. So who knows if Sanogo would have been 59 or 60, but there was only 58 this year. But let's just be honest. The NBA is just not going that route with traditional big men. Timmy, as I mentioned, Sanogo, Oscar Tshiebwe. I mean, Tshiebwe he came back, but 2 years ago, he was a player of the year. Timmy is on the Bucks, as I mentioned, Tshiebwe on the Pacers. So they are on summer league rosters. They all three of these guys have two-way contracts. Teams would rather take an international player that has all this upside that's bigs that are just more athletic. Victor Wembanyama, way more big, 7'3", way more athletic than Timmy, Tshiebwe, and Sanogo are. You know, it was obviously nice that Sanogo was able to add the three-point shot to his game. I think one of the underlying reasons why they were so dominant in the NCAA tournament was because he was such a great passer. That took a huge step up. In the combine, he played extremely well. Jackson did not play well. Sanogo arguably played the best. Jonathan Cavoni at the time, ESPN Jonathan Cavoni, said that he was one of the combine's biggest winners. It didn't translate to him being drafted, but it still is just reps that I guess the Bulls or maybe other teams just saw that this kid can play. He has good footwork, but post footwork this day and age just doesn't really translate. We'll see how much his game changes if he does stick around the NBA. He will obviously get a chance with the summer league for the Bulls. Some other former Huskies that'll be in the summer league: James Bouknight with the Hornets. Huge year for him coming up. He didn't play in the summer league last year. He was a late scratch for the whole tournament because I believe it was a finger injury, so he couldn't play. I would hope and expect he's starting. Well, I guess I have Brandon Miller now, but Tyrese Martin, I haven't seen anything that he's playing in the summer league. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that he would, but I just haven't seen him on a roster. But the UConn men's basketball Twitter page earlier today, they tweeted it out and said that he was playing in it, so I guess he is. Josh Carlton played 4 years at UConn, 1 year at Houston, and then this past year played in France. He is back with the Spurs. He averaged 8 points and 7 rebounds for the Spurs summer league team last year. And then, as I mentioned, Brendan Adams, what a year he had with George Washington. Played 2 years there, of course, played 3 years at UConn. But last year, a career high 17 points a game on 47% shooting, including 38 from three. And that includes a 32-point game where he scored 11 – or when he hit 11 three-pointers. Just a phenomenal season from Adams, Atlantic 10 comeback player of the year. I mean, let's face it, folks, when he transferred out, if you had said he's going to play an NBA G League game NBA Summer League game, you know, you wouldn't have you probably wouldn't have believed it. But he will have that opportunity. So that means we have 8 former Huskies that'll be playing in the NBA Summer League. And especially as someone that runs the Husky Pros Twitter account. But hopefully that's just the norm. Hopefully these guys find roster spots on the NBA and are in our you know, big time players on their team. But we'll see. But the Summer League goes from the 7th to the 17th. There's also the California Classic, which I don't know what the point of that is. I guess just play more games, but the Hornets are in it, so Book Knight might play in it. He's on the roster. But the Summer League in Vegas, everyone loves and talks about, it's been a big thing over the last 4 or 5 years. That starts on July 7th, goes until the 17th, so that'll be fun to watch. Before, we're very close, folks. We're very close to unveiling what the big surprise is that I've been working on for the last couple of months. Matthew Wood, drafted 15th overall to the Nashville Predators. Wood, the highest NHL draft pick in program history, edging out Tate Thompson, 26 overall by the St. Louis Blues back in 2016. Those two are the only guys that have ever been drafted in the first round. Wood, the 4th overall player in program history to get drafted. And Nashville kind of sees, I don't want to say long-term solution, but they really want to make sure they develop Matthew Wood. Youngest player in college. He turned 18 in February during the season, so he's going to be 18 when the season starts. Led the Huskies in goals, but they want to make sure that they're not going to basically put him out there too early, too prematurely, which is fair. Again, kid's 18. So, you know, I think the first couple of years it might be a little slow in the Matthew Wood playing time, but as Nashville has said, he's got big size, he's a goal scorer, so hopefully on their end, you know, if they develop him well enough, then he will eventually be a superstar, just like how Tate Thompson turned into a superstar this year for the Buffalo Sabres. All right, folks, time for the special announcement. I do wish Sam was here for this. He helped me with this, although I will say that I did about 98% of the work with this. On Twitter, we're going to have an all-time UConn GOAT bracket. So this is going to be a fan vote. And basically what that means is, so I've come up with, and this is where Sam kind of helped, but I had a list of 98 players, guys, 98 players of Huskies professionally. This is what they have done in the pros overseas and here in the States. So Breanna Stewart and Mariah Jefferson winning 4 national titles means nothing. It got him to the pros, obviously, but it means nothing. So in terms of collegiate accomplishments, does not matter. So this is going to be a bracket style. This is going to be an NCAA tournament style. I have seedings. I have matchups. It's all laid out. I will give you 2 at the end of this segment to kind of give you a little teaser. But, yeah, I'm really excited. And we have players from women's basketball, men's basketball, football, baseball, soccer, and hockey. So it was tough to go from 98 to 68. This is where my brother really had to help me out with some. There was some really tough calls that I just had to make. Obviously, we're just so passionate about all these athletes that you want all of them to be in there. Actually, isn't it 96 that like the NCAA is like considering to expand the no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. So in these tweets, I'll have the seating, I'll have like a photo of each player, and I'll have the accomplishments there as well of that I found through Wikipedia, just honestly hours and hours of research. So my plan is to unveil the whole bracket on Thursday, July 6th, so a couple days after the 4th of July, and then we'll start voting on Friday the 7th. So please retweet, please favorite, please participate. All you got to do is just vote. We'll have one region a day, 24 hours to vote, and you know, maybe give me some time for the next day when once these matches kind of turn over. But I'm hoping this goes a couple weeks, and we'll have the all-time UConn GOAT. Again, we'll have players from football facing baseball, basketball, men's basketball player facing a women's basketball player, hockey player facing a baseball player. Does not matter. So this was fun to go through the seating. Again, it was tough, but it was fun. So without further ado, I'm going to give you two matchups. And if you are listening, thank you very much right now. Please tweet at Husky Pros. Let us know who you think will win this matchup. Whatever. Just so we know that you're listening. We appreciate you listening. So here we go. In the Elliott Park region, the number 2 seed Brianna Stewart will take on the 15 seed Shabazz Napier. And in the Civic Center region, number 6 Tage Thompson will take on the winner of the first four matchups between number 11 Ryan Boatwright or number 11 Crystal Dangerfield. So these are the two that I will give you. Again, voting will start on Friday. It's tough. I mean, you look at Brianna Stewart versus Shabazz Napier, and it's two basketball icons of the program, and one of them's going to get knocked out in the first round. And again, I will have a list of accomplishments for all these players. Someone like Brianna Stewart, going to have to cut down on some of these accomplishments because there's literally too many. I'm not paying for Twitter to have more characters. So I think it's going to be fun, and I appreciate everyone's participation. And hopefully, like I said, it lasts us a couple weeks during the summer, just something to kind of get us ready for UConn football season and eventually roll into basketball season. Speaking of Brianna Stewart, and the reason why she's number 2 seed, she was named the WNBA All-Star. See that transition? See that segue? Her 5th All-Star selection of her career, 3rd straight. Obviously, this is her first year with New York Liberty, having an MVP-type season. She's right there in the running for it. She was a top 2 vote getter along with Asia Wilson. And yeah, like I said, it's not surprising how well she has played for Liberty this year. Entering Sunday, so this is before the Storm game, which since they're playing the Storm and they're not very good, she might score another 45 points like she did against the Fever earlier this year. But she's 3rd in the WNBA in points, 22 a game, 4th in rebounds, 9, and 4th in blocks, just over 1 block per game. And the second All-Star is Nafisha Collier, who got her 3rd All-Star selection. She'll be a reserve. And I just love she was able to come back. She only played in 4 games last year because of the birth of her first child. And honestly, the last 10 games, she is also playing like an MVP. I don't think she'll get it. But, I mean, just last week, she became the 2nd player in WNBA history with at least 30 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 blocks in 1 game. And she also hit the game winner against the Storm in that game with just over 2 seconds left. So certainly well-deserved. I voted for her quite often. I made a point to vote for her. I obviously voted for every single UConn player, but kind of the driving force was to make sure Collier was getting in because from what Twitter was telling me that she was kind of a floater and she definitely deserves her 3rd honor in the WNBA All-Star game. Very happy that she got that. And that game will be taking place in Las Vegas on Saturday, July 15th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. They'll probably be ESPN or ABC. I didn't write down a channel. But and most of the Summer League games will also be on TV. Like if Book Night plays Monday, which I'm releasing this Monday, so tonight, that's an ESPN game at 8 p.m. Eastern. The Hawkins-Brendan Adams game, that's a 4:30 NBA TV. 4:30 p.m. Eastern time tip-off on NBA TV. So a lot of these games, we'll be able to really actually see these guys playing the pros. So, again, this is going to wrap up the show. Thank you for listening. please participate in the all-time UConn GOAT Challenge, something, again, that I've been working on for quite a while, very passionate project that was really fun to kind of put together. Just, we know all these players are great, but to see it all kind of on, I got this one huge document of all the accomplishments, and that's what helped me seed everything. If you don't like a seeding, tell me. Yeah, you know, no committee gets it perfectly right. I think it'll be fun, and I hope you do as well. So feel free to vote, retweet, and share, and tell all your friends, because I think it's a pretty cool idea, and I think a lot of people will enjoy it. So with that, have a great 4th of July, folks. Go Huskies.